This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, March 11th, 2010.
Where would we go to pick up quarter cards if we wanted to help with the distribution?
So, March 19th,
Oh, okay. Any other questions? Do you think?
Yeah, do you have anybody lined up for the concert yet?
I'm not sure. We have that.
And we also have a newly created ad hoc public service committee chaired by Representative Gitlin here, so I'm sure he can get in touch with you and get involved.
Yeah, let's know.
All right. Yep. Thanks for coming. Yep. Next up is a census presentation. Hello. By Kevin Sutherland, Alderperson. Hey, Alderperson Rooker. And. Whenever you're ready. Okay. Oh, okay, great.
Again, my name is Kevin Sutherland. I work in the Town Administration downtown. I think all the persons here are sitting, just some people are collaborating. Look at that. I have a census cup for everybody. Hopefully there's enough. I even have coffee mugs. I know that this group is probably very high on that.
Oh, great. Wow.
And I promise to have two gentlemen sitting here today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Sorry, I don't have enough
hats. No, that's fine.
The
cups are more than enough. Yeah.
What's going on is this year, 2010, and for many years, the United States government has left the town called the head in the United States. That goes for international students, non-citizens, political immigrants, as well as political immigrants. Everybody is counted. And it's very confidential form, so if you know anybody who's concerned about deportation, it's not going to happen. We're looking for the five groups to help canvas the area. I know that today there were a couple census workers out of college and trying to get this in their hands. I'm looking for students to help do that. They know the ins and outs of the census locations and how they'll be distributed. So they'll be there to help answer questions and just keep them in their hands and talk to them. And it's going to pass around some of the flyers. $400 million every year is distributed based on census numbers. The larger, more diverse the population is here in Thompson County, and students count here in Thompson County, not home on their parents' form, as was one of the concerns today. I heard. Oh, I think that's a very important no, they don't count on their parents' what else? Students living on campus and off campus, this is what the flyer really talks about. Those who live on campus will be approached by RAs or designated persons in the dorms to hand out the flyer in mid-April and also return there. Those who live off campus must know that there's only one form per address. Everybody who's living at that one address needs to be on that same form. Do you have a bad one to add?
I would just say that it seems like our contract is done. It's very difficult to have students to fill it out. I know about 50% return rate. It's really important for both the city and the county to have an active condom with the WCC in our services. The judge is not having funding grants from the federal and state government. So, more than we need active numbers, and we have to see a lot of this on campus, maybe in our service as well as for the county.
Yeah, I don't know if. Brittany, you might be able to better answer this, but can you briefly explain the direct benefits of having a large turnout for this census and, you know, what how that can benefit the community?
Sure.
If you could speak into the mic.
Some of that funding will go and the community will be directed in the
December 10th, 11th, 9th, 10th, and 12th, and it's only run every half an hour or hour. So I mean, it really does affect you.
And I think the most important message we want to get across to students is that this program is in short form, 10 minutes, and it will definitely have a good time to share.
Okay. Yeah, and now we'll open it up to questions if anyone else has anything they'd like to add. Can we get, I have your contact information if anyone.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming. And now we have an Ithaca Tsar update by our Ithaca ambassador to Qatar, Mr. Alan Miller, as well as Professor David Robert Chow.
Organic chemistry, it's I don't know the new numbers, I'm sticking with the old numbers. So they do the same courses, and they do it just for 2 years. They take their MCAT at the end of the first year, the first chance of the MCAT. And if they don't do well, they'll take it again. But here you have freshman students taking the MCAT, and many of them, as we found out, are so bright that they will get high scores on the MCAT, and they don't think that they get into the medical program. So it's a 2-year non-degree program leading to a 4-year program, which is identical to the course taught in New York City. In fact, most of the lectures are streamed out there, video streamed out there, they take the same exam in a medical program that the people have in New York City. And they are awarded at the end of that a Cornell MBA degree. And President Scorton goes out there, he's been out twice, because the first class graduated in 2008, and he went out in 2009, he's going out again this year for the third class that will graduate. Match day is coming up this next week, and if you know what that's all about, it's the residency program, and they have done very well. They've got good residency, most of them, 90% of them in the United States, and have some prestigious institutions. So the system seems to be working well, and it's because the students come from so many different countries. It acts as a hub, and that's what it was meant to do. Qatar is a small, small country with a population of a local indigenous population of about 200,000. So there's not a big pool to draw from locally. So there are 34, when I left, there were 34 countries represented in the student body. Now every year, and this is going to be my last comment, every year students have come to Ithaca during the summer to do research, usually about between 8 and 12. And they spend the whole summer, and it's folded into the Hughes program, if you know what that is, the undergraduate research in biology. So they get embraced into that program, and then they get to meet some of the other students that are around. So they, for the first time, see their own campus. Of course, this initiative here was to reinforce that recognition that we are the same university on two campuses, some 6,000 to 7,000 miles away. This could only have been done with modern technology. So the internet has transformed this type of global education. The library there, for example, there are no books in it. All internet. It's all digital library, digital library. I'm going to stop there. I want to put the thing for you in perspective, because you probably don't know much about what's going on out there. It's the first time a medical school has given a degree for a teacher. And it's not the last. There are now 6 American universities at what they call education systems.
Well, thank you for coming today, Dr. Robert Shaw, and everyone else, and I'd like to thank you for your attention to the nuances of the correct Arabic pronunciation of Qatar. Now, if we open it up to anyone who has any questions.
Oh, sure. I emailed, and I believe you just printed out copies of the proposal that you wrote up for this trip. I believe there's a few, if you want to just circulate those around, so you can take a look at it, and if you have any questions.
Okay. Vivek Kumar.
Yeah, just really quickly, you know, this sort of program sort of ties into what the university is doing with the reaccreditation process and moving towards, you know, obviously we have many different schools, many different studies, but moving towards one university, and I think tying the two campuses together is really great. And, you know, the initiative that you guys have shown is terrific. So I'll certainly pass along the proposals to all the SA members, and, you know, any other assistance we can give you, just let us know.
And I guess one other question I had is, I know we've talked about this personally, but what do you think is the potential for having a guaranteed transfer program for the students who aren't accepted into the medical school in Qatar after their two-year pre-med track education?
Being discussed at the moment, whether there should be a guaranteed transfer to this campus. And I have an opinion on that, but I'm not going to share it because it's still very much being discussed. It was discussed in Qatar the week before last, so it's in this very early stage.
Okay.
But I'm interested to hear aware of it.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you again for coming today and speaking to us. Yep. We now have a library board update by Emily Trusick.
Who's your board?
Huh?
Who's your board?
I don't know.
Actually, I have kind of a lot to say, so I'm going to try to go through it really quickly. But some important things are happening in the Advisory Council. The Jewish Library is being renovated from June next year all the way until the end of 2011, which means that they're going to be closing down parts of the library, which is a great big deal for everyone. They're going to be closing down everything from the circulation desk to the floor desk on that. Floor streams are going to be completely.
When is this closing? Oh, go ahead if you have. No, go ahead.
Okay. So they also have a couple of other exciting initiatives. They're going to be an iPhone application and like a web browser for your phone. So the Cornell Library, so you can ask the librarian, get your account, and read books all from your own. It's really awesome. It's cool as well to offer. They're going to be, it's free. It's a free application. It's coming to the iTunes store, and it's really cool. So I'm going to try to make it more accessible to ask the students to also, there's going to be that open access publication fund, which I think the essay is supporting. Good job about that. $50,000 per year by the provost office in the library to a joint fund where anyone, students, faculty, professors, whatever, can apply and use the open access funding, which is exciting. If you want to access to your work, it's like long-term exposure to students, and of course, the open access movement, which is really good. You know, probably all know about that. And also the strategic planning, which means that they reviewed all the libraries. The most big podcast announcement, they're going to do reviews upcoming. The vegetable library, the entomology library are going on right now. Engineering library is up next. And then the hotel library, Iowa library, and Jasmine library all over the next door. So those are to consolidate the service and keeping critical services as well. So if you want to keep them in your library, be sure to use Valley Board. I don't have to know what the table is, so I'm going to be talking to her. So I encourage you to do the same and do it.
Are all these plans changes accessible online?
Most of them are. Some of it is not. Like, they're not even telling us what exactly they're coming down for. We have to progress the process, starting with four in the grade, and then moving on to the house. So we don't know exactly. But generally, those plans are up on the library website. It's just kind of like where we're going, we're on the top bar. It's up there.
Okay.
And yeah, there's three more Any other questions?
VPN. Are there any other questions? Okay.
Just want to know if NAND library is going to have to use all the time.
Now, NAND library is going to have to use. So, you don't say, just say, like a date. You can give it to you.
All right, VPN. All right, thank you, Emily. I'm actually going to motion to dispense with orders of the day and move straight to R57, then to R59, and then back to visit, then to move to R59, just because we're ending at 6.
Okay.
Sure. All right.
Thanks, Emily.
All right, so now we'll move on to Resolution 57, Resolution in Support of a Korean Students Program and the Korean Language Program by Representative Min and Sung Han Park. I have a few minutes to do that.
Again, I want to thank you guys for changing the agenda. I'd like to know we have a bunch of people here who are actually working on this. So, most of the teachers here today are actually enrolled in C1 according to the schedule and that's occupied with the residential staff. So, as you can see, there's a lot of work behind this.
And if you two can introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, my name is
Mark,
I'm a professor at KSA. And this is Esther Yeo, she's a professor at KSA. And I'm here and she actually came to give just a short statement about how she thinks about program and nutrition 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 and nutrition.
You can speak into the mic a bit. Thank you. We'll now open it up to questions, comments. Representative Danza. Then you dissent, and now
yes,
you can withdraw as much as motion. All right, so move on down the speakers. Listen, while we're hearing comments from the audience, if someone can come distribute the placards to the audience, that'll be good. Representative Desaga.
Yeah, again,
I'm
going to support. I just have another quick question. I know the Sasa program is really doing on campus. Do you know what the minimum requirements are for a university to administer a Falcon program in a language, like how many professors you need, how many classes have to be offered, et cetera, et cetera?
There is, well, I don't know the exact numbers that are coming from that, but what I do know is that if you compare the Chinese and the Japanese studies against the non-existent Korean studies, then the number of professors and lectures offering both subjects related to Japan and China, as well as the language program, is immensely larger than what they send back to the Korean studies.
Okay, and then my second question is, do you know if the Chinese and Japanese departments departments have expanded or contracted in the last year as well, just compared to what's been going on with the contraction in the creative department?
If you look at the Chinese adaptive language program, you pretty much get section of any kind of data that you want. And I've taken that out of Chinese myself, and I have no problem adjusting to my schedule. I mean, as you know, language, of course, is the area of the instructor, and you have to take five sections of the week plus three lectures, and so obviously that requires a lot of sessions in order to accommodate the different sections of the living. And the fact is that students can easily adjust it to show that there is a lot of interest as well, a lot of support for the program. And yes, it has been growing in the past, the more members have gone up, the lecture actually let us see the production of one of the national lectures.
Just to quickly add to that, obviously the Asian department is to cut a lot of money on capital, but the fact of the matter is, with the current trajectory that the current studies are not in the same thing as building a non-construction. By the end of next year, we forgot that there will be no production in any courses on the security of the school. So, in that sense, even though they are creative, we do understand that. It's really got some good points. Got some good points where we need to take that position.
Okay. And
just
one second.
Representative Blackman?
I also support this resolution because obviously students support this resolution. I'm just wondering that what the next step with this resolution will be. I'm hoping that it will be to go to the faculty senate because they actually have legislative oversight over academics. I think that would be better than that.
Well, before we actually came in, this is our last semester, and in order to prepare I talked a lot of faculty.
Is there a cost question? Is there a second? Is there a dissent? All right, Mr. McClellan.
I think that the wording is not sensitive.
Okay. Would you still like to keep your motion?
You can explain.
Well, no.
Withdraw the motion.
You withdraw.
All right,
go ahead. Why did you dissent? Go ahead. So you just want the student assembly urges before each clause, after each be it therefore resolved clause. Okay.
I mean, we find that friendly, but we thought that doesn't apply to the resolution, so we're not using the speed recommendation. So, we just put them in the first place, but yeah, I think that has to be
Alex did express some concern over that last week, so I think that's probably a good, for him. I think that's probably good change.
Sure.
Yeah.
Since it is friendly, then we'll just note the changes before we send them off to the appropriate recipients. So now we will move on to the vote. And seeing as how this is Sansavati, we'd like to take a vote from the audience. Unfortunately, we don't have enough placards for everyone who came in within 15 minutes of the meeting. But if you are in support of this resolution, if you came here to support this resolution, please raise your hand. We'll have an approximate count of how many people you are.
Okay, and all those against? Okay, so I think it's about at least 30 people. It'll be 30-0, four, so that'll be two. Oh, excuse me. We'll have 50 votes for. And either way, it counts as two votes towards the vote, and now we can have a roll call. Yes.
Yes.
Brockman?
Yes.
Sanders?
Yes.
Desai?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
Greenwood?
Yes.
Newar?
Yes.
Latala?
Absent. Skipping.
And by a vote of 18-0-0, the resolution unanimously passes. Thank you. All right. Moving on now, we have Resolution 61, Marcellus Shale Drilling Committee.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
61.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just.
Yeah, I mean, I want to commend you guys on the follow through to this because, again, you know, it's one thing for us as a student assembly and, you know, the other constituent bodies to call for the creation of a committee, but if the university is not willing to put a student, an undergraduate student that represents, you know, the undergraduate student voice onto the committee, it's pretty useless. I'll yield my time to Representative Danzer to this. Second.
All right, is there any dissent for that? All right, so now we can go ahead.
Second.
All right, there's been a call to question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? And there's been a call for acclamation and a second. If there is no dissent, the resolution is approved. Thanks for coming. All right, now moving on to SAFC appeals. If you can go. Can you tell her to do that? The 18 is a good time.
Second.
All right, that resolution has been taken. Yeah.
Go. All right, now we're on to Resolution 60. Basically, to Resolution 60, I added last fall the group that we heard this past weekend for SAC appeals. Last fall, they whereas clause in the view of all clause. And I also tried to change around the friendly language in all the views of all clauses to make things a little more, specific, so that, I guess when we're sort of thinking about these issues, we can kind of focus in on exactly what we're telling the SAC they make a mistake on. I guess I'll jump in about the questions. And again, you have representatives from both of the here. And do you
Yeah. So basically how we'll move on from here is we'll discuss the resolution in its entirety, and if anyone has any specific amendments to make, then they'll do so, and then we'll invite the group that the amendment pertains to come speak up.
Everybody's clear on that?
All right, Representative.
So, I guess I would like to talk about the whole I and Joe McMillan.
Okay.
Two separate motions, both of which will change, did not air, did air for both those organizations. I'm not sure if it's happening. So, what's the procedure now?
Okay, so now you've just made two amendments. They will be considered. The SAFC will have a chance to explain their rationale for making the decision, and Colin Dillman Hills will have an opportunity to present them. Yeah. We'll have separate. Well, no, we're keeping a master speakers list. Sure. Yeah. Please.
Yes. I motion for the amendment to read the SAFC did air. Oh, I mean, I checked to say the SAFC did not air nine funding to be approved, but the SAFC they can still receive funding because they won't have a clause. Would that work? Do you just have to take the air?
I mean, there has to be a reason for why the SAFC didn't. There has to be a reason why the SAFC should fund these groups given the fact that. Rather than you want to.
I think the reason is that the ADSAC is guidance.
Okay.
And that's my answer.
So, what is your amendment?
So, I can motion to say the SAC did air and did not find it to either pull up or to the only fellow for each executive motion.
Okay, I'm going to give you some more time to flesh this out, because if we were to apply this definition, then we'd have to fund all the groups on the list. If we had gave the SAFC flawed rules, then that invalidates all their decisions. You can't. Okay, so your motion is the SAFC did err in denying funding to COLA
There were about 60 to 75 groups that were denied funding. Some were based on the SAFC rules.
I'm not saying all of them were in the process for funding insofar as it's applied.
All right, state your amendment and then we'll discuss it. Just in full.
I'll withdraw my reward.
Thank you. Okay. Next up on the speaker list is Representative Nicoletti.
So I guess just to kind of start off the whole discussion, which I hope it's based in this focus, this is actually a response to Representative Daniel. Appeals aren't a referendum on the rules. Okay, the rules are written. Yes, it passed them a month ago in a resolution that the SA had a majority passed. Okay, the group didn't turn in their documents according to guidelines, including many chances to do so, and saw the rules that were passed. Okay, all the other groups that got denied or reduced their funding that didn't appeal, okay, they're not going to get their money. So basically, if you give these groups their money because they, you know, they've given many opportunities to understand the process, okay, and we're rewarding the loudest group rather than the most responsible group, and that's not enough. I would love to talk with you about the rules of reference funding at a later date. This is appeal, and not talking about the rules. We're talking about whether these groups follow the rules and these groups didn't, and so on, against the amendment that whatever Representative Andrew has made.
All right, a preemptive no vote. Representative Desai.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo President Nicoletti's words on the rest of the assembly. I really think you guys should think strongly about changing the way that allocations and funding. Just a couple things to keep in mind. First of all, the SA, if we change the funding, the SA will not be paying as much as funding coming out of the SA that has already, you know, allocated the budget accordingly. Think about the precedent you're setting by looking through the rules here. You're basically saying that the SAFC has a process that they use for, I don't know, how many groups a semester, for like weeks at a time through the process that they have. They've gone through the rules, they have a black and white objection process, and they've denied funding for, what was it, 80 groups? 80 some amount of groups that aired in their applications, and you're basically going to say, even though this group aired in their application, didn't get their stuff in on time, or didn't fill out whatever form or sign whatever line properly, we're going to overturn that and grant money based on the fact that we think they're deserving. I don't think the SAC has ever said that groups aren't deserving of money, but it's a black and white objective situation that they have to follow, and by overturning one of these rules, or by overturning one of the clauses, you're basically setting a precedent for any club who doesn't get their stuff in on time with the SAC to fill a room, bring people in, and say, even though we didn't follow the SAC guidelines, we still deserve funding. It's not whether they deserve funding based on the merits of their group, it's whether they deserve funding based on the merits of the process that we're in. So, you know, before you decide to overturn that process that we held so strictly that adhering to, I highly suggest you think about what you're doing by setting that precedent.
Representative Rapp.
All right, so to go directly off that, as I said at the last meeting, I think there's a great difference between SAFC, the Appropriations Appeal Process, and then the SA. I think there's a reason that groups can come to the SA, and it's because even if they did know that they messed up, some of these organizations need this money for their club, for their organization. Obviously, these clubs need it for a reason, and that's why they're coming here. They're not coming here just because, oh, well, we didn't follow the rules, and I guess we're going to try to take as much money as possible. No, they're coming here because they need this to survive on campus. And I understand precedent, and I understand SAFC, but if everyone's saying that this whole objective role of the SAFC needs to be changed anyways, why can't we start right now at the student assembly? Why can't we give funds to people that need these funds? It doesn't make sense that we have this process where they can come to us and they can appeal to us and say, oh, just because you came to us and just because you came to us with these things and you didn't follow the rules, we're definitely not going to give it to you because it wouldn't go with precedent. That makes no sense. We're here for a reason. We're here for a different reason than SAFC was. And I think that as a student assembly, we shouldn't just look at if they followed the rules. We should also look at the integral part that each organization that's coming to us plays on campus and how much they need the funding for their organization or club. So I would recommend for all the student assemblies to not only think about what Roneal said, but also from this point of view as well.
Representative Gitlin.
In addition to what Representative Rapp said, we also are here not to look at the situation of black and white in the SAFC. We're supposed to look at each case with all of the circumstances that were involved. And I think in general, you know, to say that we can't overturn the decision because it'll set a bad precedent is against any appeals process in general. That's really the point of an appeals process, to look at the decision and take into consideration everything that was involved on both sides. So I don't think it's setting a bad precedent or a precedent that has to be followed every single time in the future if we overturn one of their decisions.
Can I respond?
Sure.
Yeah, I think I'm going to absolutely agree. I think that was the perfect thing that came out of our decision to ban anyone else, that policy semester, our president is going to be considered for banning anyone else, and maybe we'll receive funding for the future. You know, I think that, you know, these decisions and what we hear here in these gray areas when it comes to, you know, certain things that have to do with exactly what process is for. So sort of look at these particular situations, you know, whether it's that or registration for adults, how we say, you know, okay, this is an area where the rules just don't apply. So we can make a decision, we can have that be considered precedent.
VPN.
Yeah, so I really want to give COLA and Billman Hill funding, but you know, we also voted as an assembly on the FASC rules. We asked the Student Assembly Finance Commission to apply the rules that we gave them. Those rules are too stringent. The process, I don't think, is a good process. But that being said, I still think that, you know, partially out of respect for the FASC and out of respect for the other groups who did bring their funding packets on time, you know, we should probably not grant this appeal. But I think that we should not grant this appeal, but immediately start working on fixing the rules. Immediately start addressing the issues that Dillman Hill and Cole are bringing to us, and we should address these issues in a manner that's both respectful to the organizations who did file their applications on time, in a manner that's respectful to the SAFC, and in a manner that's logical. I believe Dillman Hill and Cole deserve funding. But I think that let's rework the process this semester, create a system in which next semester we don't have to encounter these issues, and if for some reason we can't actually change the rules, then I would be happy, you know, I wouldn't mind overturning these appeals. But as long as we have, and I think we have had an agreement with the SAFC, you know, with the appropriate administrators, that we are going to be working on these issues. And for now, because we have this agreement to rework the entire process, we have to respect the decision that the SAFC made based on the process that we asked them to implement. So now let's focus on fixing the process, but let's also respect the process that we did outline, even though it's flawed.
Representative Rock. VP Kumar.
So, a couple of questions. So the SAC, you guys have said how, you know, funding one group would reduce the amount of funding available to other groups, right? Do you guys have a separate funding source for appeals?
Yeah, so what we have is basically we take the money that we can from that and we allocate it. $40,000 to $50,000 every semester for appeals and special projects. I don't want to get into the technicals of it, but it is one school for special projects.
So for appeals that, yeah, let's say you set aside $500 for appeals and $400 is, you know, we say, okay, you have to fund $400. What happens to the remaining $100? Does it go over to next semester?
So if it's not used by special projects, if it's not used by
right.
Yes,
I see. Okay. But the point is you guys have a pool for appeals, right?
I'm sorry?
You guys have a pool of money set aside to give groups that have successfully appealed.
Yes. Okay. So to kind of go off that argument, so essentially we have one pool for appeals and special projects.
Oh, okay.
And I think most people don't really understand what the value of FASC special projects are. But think about a sports club sports team that doesn't know prior to the deadline that it's going to qualify for now. And after it qualifies, it applies to special project funding because the counterparty, the kind of centralized hub for club sports, didn't let them know that they were qualified for nationals, at which point they have to kind of kind of ask for more money. Or think about an organization that invites a speaker, but how will the speaker have been canceled? And they might have to invite another speaker that may require more money than the previous.
What's wrong with
those are the organizations that they're going to be applying for special projects.
What's
and because appeals to special projects are within one pool of money, to allocate right now to these appeals would directly take money away to those organizations that will request special projects for their own.
So I just want to make, you know, the final point, I think it was a vote of 5-2 or 7-2 last week that we voted to give COLA funding. I was one of the two that voted against it. I'll stand by not overturning the SAFC on any of the appeals, so you're back to the chair.
If there are no other speakers who haven't spoken yet, we'll move on to the second speakers list. Oh, Representative Miss. Yeah.
I should just ask the question for Dave, and I guess you can ask my question. I know you kind of you guys have said you're so calm as well, but I'm not sure exactly the appropriation has criteria for which they will be dedicated. I feel like it's not quite explicit yet. I feel like it's definitely work on because I do agree with certain things that we are projecting from, but I don't think that in this group we can do whatever we want kind of do the process however we want. And if the issue is something like, well, this is really important for the organization so that she's funded, I think those things also need to be hashed out and kind of really clarified if there's some sort of criteria for adjustment.
So the language that's written right now in appeals is did the SAFC conveniently apply the guidelines in their judgment to the group? So it's a reasonableness argument, I guess, you know, that word is somewhat ambiguous in terms of what exactly means. That said, and, you know, all the things we look for all these groups is, you know, the circumstances surrounding the decision, whether it could strike mitigating circumstances if they, you know, haven't done something correctly, or again, for example, the use of Batman, where, you know, it, I guess the committee found it was unreasonable for the SAC to have judged shuttle to the interval good and denied them on the ground. So I guess that's sort of the framework behind the appeal process, is that it's focused on sort of a reasonableness argument.
Community member Mike Wacker. Who hasn't spoken yet, who wishes to speak. Okay, we'll move on to the second speaker's list, Representative Fox.
Okay, so just to address a couple of points that speakers have brought up after I last spoke. So Representative Fox said, if we don't agree with the concept, why not start now? The reason that we don't start by overturning the decision the SAC made is because
is there
I feel like the student assembly, our job isn't to not follow rules, it's to change rules
so that they can be followed in an efficient manner. And I don't think, like, you know, we're not going to just overturn a rule and say, even though we can set it to 150 guidelines, we're not going to follow them if we think it's not right. I think we should work to change that rule, which a lot of people are out there working to do right now. The next representative, Gibbons, said that, you know, the patient's logic of not wanting to set a precedent goes against the appeals process. I don't think it goes against the appeals process at all. As we saw through Badgins, you know, they appealed the decision that the SAC did not evaluate their application correctly, which I feel like the current system is what the appeals process is for. It's not to say that the SAC is not allocating money efficiently. The next thing is someone said it doesn't set a precedent. I feel it does set a precedent because last week we voted to fund COLA, but we didn't vote to fund Dylan Hill. What's to stop Dylan Hill from coming up here and saying, we both erred in our application the same way. Why did you fund them, but you're not funding us? The only thing you could possibly say is we feel they're a better organization than you or something like that, which is not the job of the SAFC. And I know we're the SA and they're the SAFC, but we're using the SAFC's money to fund this group. So we should be following their guidelines, not using our own judgment. Now, a proposition is if we were to have a separate pool of money so the SA could allocate appeals money, like I think McGill was kind of referencing to, that's a completely different situation. But that's not the system we have right now.
For example,
so just to address one thing that we're not spending the SAFC's money right now. We're spending the money on students, just as the SAFC is spending the money on students. So this money doesn't belong to anyone but the students that come before us who ask for it. People like to say, and I totally agree, that 90% of the aid showing up, these groups clearly showed up. They clearly care. And not only that, but I do think that in both the cases of COLA and Gilman Hill, they were basically, for lack of a better term, shafted by the process. You know, the fact that we have one day to present your material, 15 minutes to present their material, and after that 15 minutes, you're missing something. That's it. There's no, but we forgot a math question, there's nothing like that. All there is, you're missing something, and so there's nothing you can do. So I've written up two motions now, two amendments. The first is a motion to amend the SAFC did not have economic funding to COLA organizations for labor action. Changing that to the SAFC shall consider funding the Cornell organization for labor action due to extenuating circumstances in the application process. And the language for the Gilman Hill line, the Gilman Hill motion would be just such thing. The SAFC shall consider funding the Gilman Hill due to extenuating circumstances in the application process. Those are my questions.
Okay. So since these two amendments were made, we'll now open up the speakers list on the amendments one at a time. And since COLA is first on the list, we'll discuss that amendment first. And first on the speakers list, Sagan?
We vote separately.
Because for each organization.
Just make the first amendment.
Okay, so I will just make the first motion.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, we got it. VP Andrews. But then the two organizations need to defend themselves. Okay.
Make it one, and then if questions for each organization, then we can bring them up separately.
Okay, great. VP Andrews.
Yeah, first off, shall consider gives the SAFC an option not to fund. Do they consider not to do it if they want to? So I don't know. I don't know if that's the intent of your resolution. Oh, your amendment. You're right. I didn't see that.
Okay.
You guys may want to address that too. Secondly, what did I want to say? Man, I just forgot.
You can pass.
So again, I just want to bring you guys back to the idea that there are also a lot of groups who did go through the process, who had similar issues. I mean, one Cornell Media is here. They didn't include a price quote for their camera. I think that if you're gonna, also for consistency, for fairness, there's all these words that are thrown out. You may want to consider funding those groups if we're gonna fund them. Whack Attack, I definitely want to thank you for your articulate statement. I I completely agree with you. But again, in light that we ask the SAFC to fund groups in a certain manner, the way I would like to say is, let's address the issue where the issue presents itself in the actual funding guidelines. Let's address those issues. And I would like, you know, if the funding guidelines aren't in the form in which we envision them next semester, at the end of this semester, then I'm completely in support of doing what we're doing right now, considering to overturn the appeals. I'm 100% support. And, you know, we can write, the SAFC can write as many articles to the Daily Sun as they want, but, you know, we can overturn them in that manner. So I strongly encourage that we have a thoughtful and involved discussion of everybody here on the SAFC funding guidelines, but in that manner, I would hold off on granting these appeals purely because we are going to be working on that process and to create a better working relationship with the SAFC, and out of respect for them, that we honor their correct adherence to the guidelines that we gave them.
We'll now give an opportunity for Colab to come speak if they want to. Yeah, again.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think your letter to the editor this morning basically highlighted the fundamental problem, which is that the current system is broken, and you know, we need a wholesale reform. We can't keep taking these incremental steps every semester, making one or two changes. I think we need a wholesale reform. I'm happy to hear VP, President-elect Andrews talk about this. So that's really important. Again, I'm against this amendment. But I would, you know, really suggest you to reach out to Cole and talk about the special projects fund from the SA side, because I think it's a quick process, it's like one form, and I think that ought to be an avenue for more groups to get funding.
Yeah, I need to sort of get a handle on our final situation, and I'll do that supplementing tonight, and I'll
have to call. Yeah, great. So I'll call it to question on the amendment with that.
It's been a called question, but there's been dissent, so we'll now vote to vote.
You have 2 minutes left.
Yeah, if all those in favor of calling to question and voting, please raise your hand. Young, are you counting? I counted 14. All those against? It's two. Okay, so we'll go ahead and call to question.
On the amendment.
On the amendments, which applies to both Cola and Dillman. So if you can call the roll.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Absent.
Well, people pass. So.
I mean, what did you vote?
No.
What did you vote?
No.
Yeah, so I'm gonna, I guess, cast the vote and make it a tie. I will vote yes, and so we can continue discussion about this. If people can flesh out their
motion. It is 6 o'clock. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Wait. No, I get, yeah, go ahead. Point of information.
I thought you were only allowed to break a vote.
Break or make.
I think it's break
or make.
Yeah. Break or make. So I just the rationale is, while I agree that, you know, SAFT reforms do need to be made, and I hope to hear future good news from, you know, President-elect Andrews and everyone else who's been elected next year, I don't feel that we should penalize groups for, you know, a process that we've recognized as flawed. And, you know, I think Lacker made a great point between hurting SAFT's feelings with all due respect and, you know, funding the activities of groups. So I would strongly urge you all to just make these two exceptions, acknowledge that there's a lot of reform that needs to be done, but not at the expense of these two appealing organizations, which have spent considerable amount of time here. And I think that in and of itself should be rewarded.
Point of information.
Yeah.
So does that mean the president or the chair has two votes? Because, I mean, you're eight.
No, we just tied it. I just tied it.
But you're not allowed to vote, though.
I think make or break.
Yeah, it's make or break.
It's make or break.
Make or break gets there to tie, so it's not a tie.
Yeah. Yeah. Make tie.
Make tie.
I'll have to
send it to. No, just open up the secret.
Yeah. Can we, yeah, so yeah, thanks for your point of information. If any vote that changes the outcome, this vote does change the outcome. So we'll now open up the speakers list. Who wants to speak?
Okay. I motion to vote again, and those who abstain vote, and those who abstain to vote. No, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Second.
Are you calling to question?
I'm calling the question.
Second.
There's been another call to question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
What is the motion to adjourn? No. Sorry.
No.
Point of information, yeah. She said 8 to 10, so it's valid.
Okay.
But point of information, did anyone who serves on the Appropriations Committee switch their vote?
The proper thing.
Yeah. All right.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
President, yeah.
Whatever. A suggestion about, you know, applying the rules to the, you know, after you holding on to changes, you can't do that because that's against the Constitution.
You can't make laws or make rules or regulations or whatever, and then tell a group to and then apply them to a group after their child dies. So if that influenced anybody's vote.
So, this vote was just for the amendment, so now we're going to speak about the resolution again in its entirety. First time speaking, Mr. Vivi Kumar.
I'll yield to Representative Gibbons. Could you yield back when you're done?
I think we're losing sight a little of our part in the process. I completely agree with President Salem and what he said about understanding that the rules are flawed and that we're going to change them in the future. But we also have to remember what we're doing is we're taking into consideration all the circumstances that were involved in both sides of the process. It can't just be about, you know, whether the rules are wrong and when we're going to change them and whether future rules are going to change the vote or not or change the outcome. What we're doing is we're taking into consideration both sides in this case and what happened in the application process. And we have to remember that, you know, human errors do occur and these things happen, and that's what we're here for. Interpret to add some subjectivity to a process that is, you know, valuable on some levels because of human error. And I yield the rest of my time to CD.
Thank you. I'm really proud of the work of the Appropriations Committee in looking through all the budget packets and reversing 7 of the 14 decisions that the SAFC made. I think the Appropriations Committee was extremely thorough. I'm really happy about these 7 groups being funded. And I agree with the decision of the SA to uphold the SAFC's decision to deny funding to the other 7 groups. I think the Appropriations Committee and the SA struck the right balance here. I really strongly urge the SA to continue looking at other reforms, but with that, and I urge the VP of Finance to reach out to all these groups and tell them to apply for special projects through the SAFC's funds. But with that, I'd like to call to question.
There's been a call to question in a second. Is there any dissent? All right, seeing none, will the clerk once again please call the roll? This is for the entire resolution, sorry.
Yes.
Yes.
One of my organizations on the list.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
By a vote of 10-5-3, the resolution passes. There's been a motion to adjourn, and I'm going to go ahead and entertain that motion. Meeting's adjourned. Clean all this stuff up. Don't forget your expensive stuff.
I agree.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.